Repeat, if you would, please. Father.
Father.
Through your Spirit.
Through your Spirit.
We ask that your truth.
Yes, that your truth.
Be spoken.
Be spoken.
And that we hear what you would say.
And that we hear what you would say.
And not what our minds would twist it to be.
And that our minds would twist it to be.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's important because if you listen to what I'm about to say, or I think I'm going to say, because I'm opening my mouth and he's filling it, you will not hear the truth that's being presented if you hear it with your mind and your soul. So the person that wrote or sang or whatever that song, God's never going to, never going to, never going to let me down. And sitting in the chair, I was challenged. Is that right? Is that true? Does God let us down? Has anyone ever felt that God let you down?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And so I started to work through that while sitting in the chair. And what I understand at this point is there are basically three areas where what he is singing could be perceived as truth. One is when we first accept Christ as our personal Savior, it seems like the babies can ask whatever they will.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the Lord does it for them. The second is when we're living in special certain times that the Lord is allowing us to set up the constructs of the next place that we're going into. Mm-hmm. And the third is that when we have matured and overcome to the place that our heart is one with him, that we hear what he says and we speak, that we see what he does and we do. Now, I believe that's possible before he comes back or before he takes us to heaven temporarily to bring us back down for the 1,000-year reign. But what I heard being spoken there, for most of the church, is a spirit that puts God as our servant, not we as his son.
Amen. Yeah, big difference.
You're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. So the things that I want, you have to do. You have to perform. In the past few weeks, and this is why it's trenches, you know, you'll have certain people come alongside you in your life for seasons, and you come to rely on them. You know you can trust them, which is, as those of us that have been around for a while know, is just hugely valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you put a value on someone that you know you can trust, that you can rely on? In my case, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, we heard, and I heard, that our youngest will be moving to Florida. And I think I kept a pretty good fatherly advice and loving face on. But inside, my heart was breaking. Mm-hmm. This is the child that was our miracle child. This is the child that at 2 or 3 years old had leukemia. This is the child that mommy and daddy got to go into the cancer center with him and watch them pierce his spinal column with no painkillers because, if I remember right, 3% of the time that they did this procedure, mm-hmm. he could be paralyzed. And we do the math, it's say, well, you're planning on doing this 74 times or whatever it was. And the math therefore shows that there's a huge likelihood this is that son. I love all my children. But there are certain, as those that are parents here know, there are certain ones that touch you deeply in certain different ways.
Yeah.
So of all of my children, I think, and they all have tender hearts. But he has one that is just really, really tender to the Lord, to people. So the idea that my baby was moving to Florida really tore me up. And then we go to the office, and my middle son, as it were, who has been, not middle son, second youngest son, who has been working on the equipment side of our business for 3 years, had interviewed for a position with a company. Seems like a great position, training, et cetera, et cetera. But I had to confess to him this past Friday that as I stand in his presence and consider the place without him, I have physical pain. Mm-hmm. I can't even explain where it is, mm-hmm. but I hurt. And so, over the weekend, I'm like, Lord, you know, what are you doing? You know, Lord, that it's been a desire of my heart for as long as I can remember to have my children involved in the business with me. Because I have the experience and knowledge base that I don't believe I really understood and knew my father until I worked in business with him. And saw him in different capacities that I never saw before. And we know that fellowship, the word fellowship, is actually working together. You know, fellowship is not having a meal. Mm-hmm. Fellowship is having a goal and working toward that goal together. Mm-hmm. That's fellowship. So in the middle of that, we, Ann and I, get word that the bank is taking action against our house. So the enemy is screaming, okay, so you're going to be homeless. Well, you could probably put a bed in one of the offices of the office. You know? And we could join, one of the health clubs for $10 a month and get showers there. You know? And all of that goes with it. And then all of a sudden, instead of walking around our house and having memories and things like that, I'm walking around the house and everything I look at is like, boy, that's heavy. Takes a lot of space. We have so much stuff. And I'm not going to be able to move this. You know, how are we going to be able to move this? And at this point, two of our four sons will be gone. It's also, as from a father's heart, I see my middle son come alive when he's with my second youngest son. And coming alive in a way that I'm not, for whatever reason, able to do. So I'm thinking, okay, so we're losing this, we're losing that, we're losing that, we're losing that. So I started, as has been my tendency over the years. Those that know me know I am a call it like it is person. Okay? I don't like mind games. I don't play mind games. I call it as it is. I've confessed up here that I've in my mind at least stood in front of God saying, I'm more righteous than you are. He corrected me after I said that. And he said, you know, everybody does that. Really? I mean, that's pretty arrogant. Whenever anyone says, I'd rather do it my way than your way, Lord, that's exactly what they're saying. I'm thinking, wow, his love and his mercy in my own experience expanded because of that. So during this time, I have had to go back and start to uncover some of the heartbreaks and times that God let me down. Now, for those that would say God will never let you down, they're just not ready to hear this. So if that's here, Lord, put them to sleep. But for those that want to grow and overcome, you can hear me say God has let me down and think that I am accusing him. Or you can hear the truth that God has let me down and it's because I have put myself in the position of expecting something from him that he never promised in the first place. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of all this, I think it's Isaiah, and we all know the verse, I can't think of the reference right now, where he confronts and says, my ways are higher than your ways. And what's the rest of that verse?
And not your ways, my ways.
Yes, my ways are higher, and my words, right, okay, are higher than your words. I've heard that for my whole life, but it never opened like it did mm-hmm. recently. In looking at the original language, when I've heard all these years, my ways are higher than your ways. Well, of course they are. You're God.
Yeah.
I mean, by definition, they're higher, right? So that's no big whoop. I would expect that. He says, no. The original language is, the path that I take to bring you from here to here is higher than the path that you would take. When we say God has let me down, we were on a path and we made certain decisions. And he chose that this path is a higher path. What does higher mean? One of greater destiny. One that's going to get you to the destination, i.e. destiny,
yep,
place of destiny, destination at the end, as compared to your path that's just going to get you over here somewhere and not close to your destiny. We have had our share of what I would say letdowns. And I attribute that partly to not being willing, and in some cases not even knowing, that my role is to submit, mm-hmm, not break and bow, okay, not break and grovel, not break and then in self-pity say, oh, what a lowly worm I am, mm-hmm, which the enemy has been on me also. Mm-hmm. Past 2 days, I've had worms on me. I come in the office, Anne's in the office, I come in, and a worm is crawling down right in front of my eyes. Like, what is this? Mm. You know? And the enemy's making, in his own stupid humor, trying to make me feel like a worm. We were not called. And when he, our Savior, hung on the cross, he did not pour his blood out so worms could live.
Amen.
He poured his blood out so that his brethren,
yep,
priests and kings, could reign.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a strong sense I have that each of us have places that are heartbreak, where our heart has been broken, mm-hmm, and we have covered that over. Mm-hmm. Caroline spoke about intimacy, and when you said that, What I heard was Father saying, you want to be intimate with my son. You have to go in the places where intimacy happens. Intimacy does not happen in public. Intimacy doesn't happen in the areas where no tears are shed. Intimacy is the gut. It's the deep areas that we don't want to expose, because first of all, we can't trust many people to expose it. And we're afraid with those that we love, well, if we expose this ugliness, they won't love us anymore.
Right.
So I can't expose that. So I have to just leave it here. I can see it clearly. And man, you know what? I am a worm. And that's where the enemy wants to bring us. Because we are not able to vent, to release, is a better term, that ugliness that we are holding inside and for ourselves. And then the next step beyond that is where that ugliness becomes our false god. We serve that ugliness. There have been times in the past number of years, may I be open?
Sure.
I'm asking my wife, not you.
Oh! I don't know what you're going to say, but...
You're going to take a chance?
It will
do I'll that. Hold your hand.
You can always leave the room.
There you go. You can listen to the tape later.
You won't even know.
Yes?
Yes, Harry said yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. I wanted another witness. There wasn't another witness.
even though she's going, help, what's he going to say?
If you were to be able to take a brief tour of the places I've lived in my life after I met that woman, you will see holes in doors and walls. Why?
Rage.
And the rage comes from having this thing that you are serving.
Come on.
And not being able to release it. And if you can't release it from here, you can't lay it at the foot of the cross. And therefore, when we do this, when we take communion in his blood and his body, he's saying, you're remembering me, but you're not remembering fully. You're allowing me into the outer chamber. You're allowing me into the hallway, but I want to be in the innermost parts. That rage is, Anne could say, a number of things. And it would go inside me and flip a trigger, and I would explode. To the best of my knowledge and belief and memory, I've never hit her. Have I been told to hit her? Absolutely. Have I been told to beat her? Absolutely. Lies. Have I? No.
Lies.
Lies. Lies. Because the rage is there. Mm-hmm. So the things that are deepest are very often the things that we have had an expectation, a belief, and even scripture that we're standing on that then is not fulfilled. You say, how can that happen? I know we have stood on scripture and it has not come to pass in the time frame that I wanted.
Yeah.
We have this thing called time where we think if something doesn't come to pass, you know, immediately, forget about it. It's just, you know, not going to happen. And the Lord is saying, I'm giving you that promise because I am standing over here, which is way out in the future from your perspective. And over here, you have that. I'm telling you facts from my perspective, and you're giving me a limited perspective from your time-based thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage everybody. The other thing that I've been doing, and I'm correcting myself, and again, the trenches, part of my own personal honesty and integrity is, Lord, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. Because you know what? You can handle it.
And he knows it anyway.
He knows it. Yeah.
He knows it all.
Don't tell anybody. Lord, I'm holding this thing. You don't know anything about what I got in here, right? How ridiculous is that?
Yeah. But he's living right inside.
Yes. How many play that game?
Tried it.
It didn't work so well, right? So I have a relationship with the Lord that I will bring my complaints to him. My complaints are not infrequently against him. Does that offend him? I think it hurts his heart at times. Does he get bad out of shape about it? No. Because he made me to be militant and passionate.
Come on.
And that is just part of who I am. It's what he made me to be.
Yeah.
If I walked around like this, I would be denying who he made me to be. Mm-hmm. If I was holding secrets from him, I would be denying what he made me to be.
Yeah.
So instead, I do enter the courts of heaven. I do enter boldly and say, what about this? Your word says, hey, you know what? Remember your word? It says that. What about this? Okay? And I may not have that much attitude, but that's the complaint. And not uncommonly, within a few days, there'll be an answer. It frequently doesn't come to me. Not either to Ann.
Oh.
I have to be willing to listen and to be receiving different input. If I close myself out completely, including to this body, it might be spoken. I'm not going to hear it. So I want to encourage all of us. The heartbreak where we have put expectations upon the Lord as if he was our servant, and then been let down, and then responded by holding that inside and letting it fester instead of exposing it and bringing it to the Lord. It's more than that. I want to plead with you to have a time of intimacy with him.
Yes.
And say, Lord, you know that thing 25 years ago? I never got over that. And I need your help getting over it. And you know all about it already. So I need to be able to release it to you. And in doing that, you are worshiping his sovereignty. Because by doing that, you're saying, I don't understand. And for me to not understand is not a good thing. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I like to be in control. How many control freaks are in the room? Okay, or recovering control freaks. So to be able to say, I don't know what happened back there, and I don't even really understand what you're doing, but I need to expose this to you and walk this out through you and with you. And by doing that, we are humbling ourselves. We are doing what Joe talked about earlier.
Yep.
We are submitting ourselves, we're humbling ourselves, and we're putting ourselves in the place where he can start to build afresh on a new foundation that's not built on what we think is a hidden lie.
Yep.
And in fact is a festering false god. I could say a lot of things, but that's not important. It's what he wants to say.
I'd like to say that when you put on a false front or a mask and you wear it day in and day out, you have a tendency to keep that mask on even when you're with the Lord. And my suggestion is you take this advice from your brother and to go forward with what the Lord wants you to become, an honest person. And I can only say, John, that I never put holes in the walls. I did other things. I'm not going to go into those things because that's not the issue. What is the issue is we all have ways of recovery that we were supplied with by negative forces because we didn't know the Lord the way we should have then. We did the best we could with what we knew. And I have recollection of one time years ago having a very dramatic experience of God really letting me down in my perspective. And I'm full of anger and I'm trying to hold it in. But when I got in the car, for some odd reason, when I'm in the car and somebody's not driving correctly, all of a sudden something happens inside. And I go into a tirade. And then I apologize and he says, are you going to take your little Christian hat off? And I said, whoops. And the Lord reminded me that he was a carpenter. And I used to deliver lumber to the carpenters. I did that for several years. I also worked for an undertaker. They weren't always happy. And neither were the carpenters, especially when they hit their thumb. So that day I learned that God could handle whatever I had inside. And he could handle my emotions and my emotional response. So what I'd like you to do right now is just to have you close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
since you know all things,
and
my Heavenly Father knows all things,
and my Heavenly Father knows all things,
he knows where I'm going to land,
and
he's already prepared a path. And even if I have a problem, and I don't want to talk about it, he'll let me stew as long as I want to. It's up to me. I need to learn that I may not understand today his plan for the next level of my life. But he has knowledge of where he's taking me. And I can choose to trust by choice. It's a free will choice to trust him. Even for the things I don't understand. So take me higher, Lord. Give me the grace to carry it to the finish line. Because I don't understand. And I want to. But I heard tonight that the spirit of understanding is available to us. Susan saw him. I welcome the Spirit of the Lord and understanding to multiply in me to the place where I can handle his truth for my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Make sure you share some hugs with each other. 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 Share some hugs with